from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well, other than the Malcolm Butler benching Curtis, there may be no topic that in my 97 years of broadcasting is more controversial than the one that we are about to discuss right now.
Brissett?
No, not Jacoby Brissett or Drake May, but we can get an opinion from our next guest on that. John O'Keefe was a Boston police officer who passed away in January of 2022. In Canton, Massachusetts. Courtney and I were invited to a dinner with Karen Reed, who was accused of murder in that case. And there were some who are texting now, some like maybe our next guest, who were upset that we went to that dinner and posted a photo. And so my obligation as a broadcaster is to give any and all who are upset the opportunity to respond. And so John Jackson is here. John, how are you?
Appreciate
thanks.
It. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And you are a longtime friend of John's, college buddies.
College buddies.
And you are here to represent a group of friends and others who kind of want the other side of the story to be told. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not that we were really upset about the, you know, yeah, it's going to do. It is what it is. I mean, you do what you have to do. But, you know, just like this opportunity, really, to get out and say the other side, because we feel, like I said, I don't represent the O'Keefe family. I know them. I love them. They're fantastic. But I'm more like the lifelong friends of Johnny kind of got together and said, let's put some of these, some of these rumors to rest. Some of the untruths out there to rest, and just talk about him, get him back to the front and center of this.
Yeah,
And I think that's why Greg and I took the opportunity to sit down with her as well, because there was so much out there,
and
whether it's social media or watching the live stream during the trial, it has become a circus.
Wild.
I can't imagine being a friend of his and watching this all unfold.
Sure.
But for Greg and I, we weren't there. So for me, I wanted to sit down with somebody and ask the questions that were on my mind. And when the opportunity presented itself, and to sit down with her and me be able to say, I've heard this, I've heard this, I've heard this, and have somebody give me something, I thought that was important. And so that's why I'm so happy that you're here, too, because it is important to get both sides. But we've been very forthcoming in the fact that we both believe that John O'Keefe deserves justice. And if she did not do it, that's important, too.
Of course. I mean, you know, we obviously have our side.
Right.
We feel a certain way about it. But, as far as...
But what is that way? Because it's important for you. You're here. So
yeah.
you have determined that she did it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. So let's talk a little bit first. Let me talk about him, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Let me just start with Johnny. Let me talk about Johnny. Johnny was a fantastic guy, right? So, like I said, lifelong friends got together and said, during the first trial, we kind of just sat back and we all kind of agreed, let's not be the reason anything goes wrong here. We know the truth's on our side. You know, the evidence is there. Let's let it play out. And we did. And we sat back. What we underestimated was the outside noise. In the social media sort of groundswell, if you will, that took off, and just the narrative got away from everybody. And of course, we watched the trial, and we know what we saw in the trial. Now, we can talk about later if you want, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, all that stuff aside, the thing that's getting sort of pushed to the background is Johnny, you know. And so as one of his friends, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, his memory, everybody who thinks about this trial thinks about him first, right? Put his thought in your mind first, because that's ultimately the real victim here, the ultimate victim here. No matter what you believe in this case, he's the guy, and you said it yourself, yeah. Justice for Johnny. But, I mean, he was such a tremendous guy. And I'll tell you a little bit. So we went to Northeastern together, mm-hmm. right, in those years. We AF all the time. Yeah. He'll man, right? So yeah. All the crazy shows. It's just, like, so funny guy. We commute together. We didn't live there. We commuted. So, you know, he had this terrible car back in the day. I can't even say the word he called it. But, you know, he had this terrible car. And we'd drive in, and there was a song, Gallows Pole. You guys yeah. played it all the time.
Yeah.
Gallows Pole, right?
Yeah.
He was pretty straight-laced, you know, great sense of humor, but he was, you know, pretty put together. And every time the song came on, he'd roll the windows up so he could belt it out as loud as he could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just really let it go. And then as soon as the song's over, roll the windows down, like, but every morning with you
but
guys,
just
you know? All
yeah.
the time. But
I mean, just,
walk for change and all that stuff. So
I don't know. I would include myself in this, that I don't think there are a lot of guys who would do what he did when it came to adopting his niece and nephew.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and so sounded like, and my interest in this is that, first of all, my interest, like everybody, like you, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened.
No, it's in terms of like eyewitnesses and stuff, like there's nobody, yeah, right, of course.
Well, explain to me if you do know what happened.
Sure.
How do you know what happened?
So let's start back. Let's start back with, again, being close with the family, right? So the family and friends. We all know him and his personality and who he was, and you know he was not like an intensely like violent guy or anything. He was pretty laid back, and like it wasn't like so to hear these stories about like fights and anger and resentment with other, you know, we can get into Colin Albert or anything you want,
yeah,
right? So. All this stuff, it just wasn't his nature ever, you know, at all. So to hear like, oh, he had a beef with this guy and that, like, it just wasn't his personality, first of all, right? Like, we can start at the base there. But then immediately after the situation happened, the family and the close friends all got kind of these vibes from her saying, you know, like, she just changed on a dime, like her person, the way she interacted with the family. And it kind of set them back because, you know, You met her, obviously. Mm-hmm. I've never actually met her in person, just, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, she's engaging and likable, and, you know, some of the closer friends were like, they, you know, just didn't expect it. But when it happened and she changed on a dime, and that was it. She cut the family off, cut the friends off, you know, and that was it. So those are kind of like telegraphing as to, you know, possible reasons why the family considered her right away.
I will say that she echoed your sentiment, though, that he was not an aggressive guy, that he was not, yeah, somebody. She told us, because I made sure to ask the question. I saw the rumors that John may have brought to light maybe Colin Albert and some drug accusations before this all went down. And she said that never happened. People are trying to make it more dramatic.
Sure.
They're trying to add more flame to the fire.
Sure.
And so, for me, if you believe so strongly that she did it, and just looking at the evidence, how could she have been there and hit him at the time that they say he died if she was already at his house?
Sure, you're talking about the Wi-Fi.
Yes, yeah.
Right, so,
well, because I'm just,
right,
that's just my mind when,
sure,
watching this.
Sure, so, I mean, we can get specifically into it, like, in terms of, like, the car data and stuff, like, you know. So,
yeah.
So the Lexus, her Lexus had Techstream data on it, and, you know, which these Ocker guys did not even look at. They're experts in this Techstream data. It's on their website saying, this is what we do. It's the most, you know, and they didn't bother looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what their questions, right? We can get into that too, but
yeah,
we don't know what they were actually looking for, if they decided what they decided without looking for it. But that Techstream data, you know, if you follow the timeline there's about 5 or 6 minutes between the time, close to five. I mean, it depends on if it's, you know, 459 or whatever, right? So there's about 5 minutes there between when we believe the accident happened and when the Wi-Fi connected. Now, the Wi-Fi can connect outside the house. You can pull in the driveway and that Wi-Fi can connect. It doesn't have to be I'm sitting in front of the router, you know what I mean? It just can. So, you know, go ahead.
Let me just ask you this. You believe, and I'm assuming that the family and friends believe that, in you know, in the United States, I think 5%, maybe less, slightly less, of the murders are committed by women. And so your belief is that, and you were talking about how John would not be, is not the kind of person who would get into a fight. So you're making that character judgment about John, and rightly so, knowing him. Do you at all question that 5% of these murders are committed by women, and this is somebody who was a Bentley professor, worked at Fidelity, had not been in trouble previously, and just decided on that night?
I wouldn't say just decide. I mean, you talk about 5% of the population, but it's one person.
Yeah.
We talk about one person, right? So you can throw all those stats out and just think this one person had whatever happened that night, whether highly intoxicated, and I won't get into it, but highly intoxicated in that moment, whatever happened in that moment, there was something, right?
Yeah.
That happened. So
I want to ask this question because I wasn't as vested as Greg and Courtney is. Does the family and you guys believe that it was something that was just everybody was kind of very drunk and it was an accident, or does they feel like there was a little bit of intent there?
Sure. So I can speak to that. I'll speak about me personally. All right? Mm-hmm. Good question, because you know, at the moment it probably was an accident, right? Like in the moment, mm-hmm. at that moment, like the act was intentional, right? What she did was intentional. She's intoxicated, and it was, you know, they probably arguing and mm-hmm. fighting or whatever, and there was a, you know, the act was probably accidental.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that we have is that happened at 12:30-ish at night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it was 6 o'clock in the morning, right? So what happened in those in that time frame? All those, you know, we know she called her parents at 1 o'clock in the morning. Who calls their parents at 1 o'clock in the morning? Because I just saw my boyfriend walk into the house of a party I dropped him at.
Maybe it was a butt dial.
Maybe it was a butt dial.
There were a lot of butt dials.
There was a lot of butt dials. We can get into that too.
Do those bother you at all?
Oh, sure. Look, I'll tell you flat out now. Like, again, speaking of myself, you know, we're not, the investigation wasn't perfect, right?
Okay.
To say the least.
Well, that's
right?
What I want to get into.
Yeah,
so the jury,
the least.
It was a mistrial.
Yep.
And I don't know any other way to. I assume you think that the state did not do a good job prosecuting the case.
We'll find out in terms of with those affidavits and stuff what actually happened with the jury. You know, the actual numbers of the jury.
But it was a mistrial.
It was a mistrial. Yeah. So
the jury was not able to come to a unanimous verdict. That's
correct.
The way the justice system.
Of course.
Works.
So yeah. In terms of. Do we think the prosecution didn't do a good job? I'll say it. Let me rephrase it and say it. All the evidence that needed to be in front of that jury was in front of that jury to convict. If they wanted it, it was there. Hopefully, it gets repackaged in the second trial and delivered a little bit differently. My opinion, right? So, because everything that was necessary to convict her was there, you know?
If she is found not guilty in the next trial, do you think that you, in seeking justice for John, will want to find out what happened?
You're asking almost two different questions. Like, so the family knows and the friends know what happened. Okay, so if it's not, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but if we're taking a hypothetical that she's not convicted in the next trial,
I'm only taking it because she wasn't convicted in this one.
Of course, and there's you know, depending on how this goes, there's going to be another trial, right? In terms of there's going to be another trial, but. Do we still know? We know. We know what happened.
But we do know what
is that fair in the
look? It's you're talking about fairness is different than being able to prove something in a court of law, right? So we can talk about fairness. You know, Johnny's not here. That's not fair at all, right? So that's the most important thing for us. But if she's not convicted the second time, I mean, what are we going to do? Look, we'll say if there's a not guilty, right? If there's a not guilty, well, that's that's the end of that, right? I mean, that's that's how it is. She would have been found to have not guilty in the court of law, and there's our hands are tied then, right?
Yeah.
But
you bring up, like, what did she do though between the time she left the party and then the next morning when John's body was found? They do have record. Like, she called him 30 plus times.
It's 100 phone calls, something phone calls. Sure,
but they're over 30 voicemails. So during that time, we do know what she was doing. Does that raise suspicion to you at all that she didn't know what was, like, she didn't know where he was?
Well, so
because if she was so drunk, I just don't know if you can have the wherewithal to be able to say I'm going to premeditate it to look like I'm looking for
him.
Okay,
so we talk premeditation is a little bit different too, right? You're talking about something different than actual. Like, so for instance, her actions to us show that she knew she did something wrong, right? And in those critical hours between, say, 1 a.m. or 12:30 and 6 a.m., possibly could have saved his life if she made different decisions. That's my opinion, right? So when you talk about the murder two charge, the third prong of that charge is the intent charge, right? Mm-hmm. But the intent is not, did she premeditate it? Did she intend to do it? The intent is, did she intend to do an act, right? Like, the act of doing it. The act is driving the car backwards 24 miles an hour, 60-something feet, and hitting Johnny. That's the act, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My premeditation topic was about the phone calls. Like, was she sitting at home after doing this, knowing she did it, and say, okay, I'm going to call him over 100 times, leave over 30 voicemails to make it look like I was worried and looking for him? That's what I'm talking about. But if you're that hammered, I don't think you have the capacity to be able to do that.
So, obviously, we don't know, right? Obviously, we know.
Yeah.
And I will never speak to her. So I'll never get a chance to ask you that question. But you have to think, whatever happened in that moment that caused her to act the way she did and drive the car in reverse at that speed, at that crazy speed, and hit him and move and drive away, you know, that is, you know, if we called it, the way you were talking earlier about, you know, was it intentional, mm-hmm. or was it an accident, you know, whatever it was, she did the act.
Mm-hmm.
She drove it. She drove and then she left him.
Mm-hmm.
Still drunk, still hysterical. Those actions in there, you know, people act differently, obviously, in the moments. So those actions for the next 30 plus voice, whatever the voicemails were, I don't keep the numbers, right? But whatever that was, you can't say it was necessarily rational. Could have been intoxicated. It could have been hysterical. Could have been whatever that reason is. I mean, some of the voicemails alluded to him stepping out or whatever. Wasn't true, but in her mind it was, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's acting as like, I try not to talk about her too much, but like those voicemails indicate a sort of jealous rage, right? That's what it sort of feels like. And so that moment of the accident, it feels the same way, right, to us. That moment was probably an incident of jealous rage. To us would be, you were talking about 5% of women, right? Still domestic violence, right?
Yeah.
So she still did the act, left him and left. And then those voicemails and everything indicate her state of mind at the time, right? So do I think she was trying to cover her tracks? Not at that point, but maybe like 4:30 when, you know, things start wearing off. We've all kind of been there a little bit. Things start wearing off and you start coming to the reality of, I maybe may have done something. And, you know, the phone call she made to Kerry Roberts and the other people
after that.
No, I was just going to say, is there concern with the family and friends of John O'Keefe moving forward that, based off the first trial and the way the evidence might have been presented or obtained, that there could be a chance that she gets off on the second one? And you guys view it as somebody did a horrific act and they're now walking free.
Yeah, that's a worst case scenario for us. Mm-hmm. But absolutely. That's 100% a fear of ours. You know, mm-hmm. like you said, first trial, we think the evidence was in front of the jury. Like to see it repackaged and maybe delivered a little bit better. But, you know, other than that, a fear of ours is, yeah. And, you know, obviously the jury pool, everybody around here knows about this. Like,
when it comes to something like this, which captured the public's attention, is it your opinion as a friend of John's that we should not interview Karen Reed? If Karen Reed is available...
Huh? Listen, you do whatever you want. You do whatever you want. All we ask is fairness in it,
okay,
right?
That's why you want to come in today.
You guys do whatever, of course.
And your message, because it's important to me that we get that out, is that you don't want John O'Keefe and the kind of guy that he was to be lost in all
Absolutely.
Of this.
Absolutely. Okay. That's literally the most important thing to us. You know, the trial is I say to my kids all the time, the worst thing already happened. So if she's found not guilty a second time, the worst thing already happened.
Yeah.
He's not here. We've already experienced the worst part of it. The O'Keefe family has experienced the worst thing they could after losing, Kristen, too.
Yeah.
Johnny's amazing sister. So, the worst thing happened. So it would be salt in the wound,
right.
and we'd miss a little bit of justice on that. Yeah, well, absolutely. But, can't bring it back.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to keep going here.
Listen, I appreciate you coming in.
Sound like you have more to ask.
Well, no, I didn't say it in the beginning, and I just want to say it now because it is important, and I am sorry. Like, I'm so sorry for your loss because looking at you now, like, you can tell the emotion that you still have, and everything we have heard from everybody, people have called the show, people we've met in person, but also Karen, is that he was a great, great guy. I'm so sorry, and it's. I hope that it is less of a circus for you the second time around.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're out here trying to do is just, you get the other side out there. Love to come back and talk if there's more about it. We'll keep things open and we'll do this again if we need to.
Right? All right.
So,
all right, John.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Curtis, you didn't ask him about Jacoby Brissett and Drake May.
Well, I didn't want to get to the most important part of the conversation too soon.
Put Drake May in. Just put him in.
Just do it.
Let's go.
What are we waiting for?
We like Brissett. He's great, but let's just do it.
I had to hold Jackson back. He had like 16 questions he was ready.
All right, John, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We got to get to Courtney and to what is trending this hour.
The Rich Keefe Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Sox take one against the Astros behind Jaren Duran's game-winning homer. 6-5 was your final. Another one in Houston this afternoon. First pitch, 2:10, with Cooper Criswell getting the start opposing Justin Verlander. You can hang out with Arcan at 1:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Tyler Murray have the call in the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. Patriots back at practice today, 1 p.m. start with Gerard Mayo speaking with media beforehand at 12:30 ahead of Sunday's preseason finale against the Commanders. And history was made last night, the first WNBA game ever played at the TD Garden with the Connecticut Sun defeating the LA Sparks in front of a sold-out crowd. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, guys. It is currently 64 degrees and sunny, afternoon high of 73, and we need Dancing Curtis if we've ever needed him before. And there he is. Wow, he's still going after that. Look at him. Happy as a clam.
Dude needs a little sunscreen, though.
Nope.
I'm worried about dancing weather smoke when it comes to the UV rays.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He does need a tan, though.
But he doesn't need a lot of sunscreen.
No.
Probably just like a capful would probably cover everything.
Oh. Oh, look at this. The moves are improving over the course of the show.
I love the hot symbol.
Me too.
That he makes.
That's the weather.
Good job, Curtis.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Thank you.
Gresh and Foyer coming up in half an hour. Shime off today, but back tomorrow. And tomorrow on this show, the front office report with Craig Breslow. I mentioned it when John Jackson was in here.
Once again, you're leaving me alone for the front office report.
Has there ever been more of a divisive issue in our time than the Karen Reed trial?
Tom and Bill.
Yeah, I guess.
Who'd you say?
Tom versus Bill.
Tom v. Bill. Yeah.
Especially with, like, not much evidence either way. You know what I mean?
I think that's the problem.
That is the biggest issue.
If you're going to rely on, and I really, I want to be clear, because people are going, you know, which I love. People are going back and forth in the Twitch chat. People are going back and forth on the Subaru of New England text line, and people are, you know, as is always the case, right down the middle on how they feel about John coming in here. Mm-hmm. John, I wanted to come in here and speak about his friend, John O'Keefe, and make sure that John O'Keefe was not forgotten in all of the discussions. Right. And I think that is
important,
very important. So I think you have to try to separate, if you can, the two from what everybody has an opinion, not everybody, most everybody has an opinion on this case. That is because of the attention that was on this case. That is because it was broadcast on court television every single day for hours. So the unfortunate thing in the, or maybe it is the fortunate thing in the American justice system, is that there are 12 people who are determined to have the opinion that matters. None of the rest of us were there. None of the rest of us. So, in one case, you can say, I know what happened, and I just know that this person did this.
Mm-hmm.
The other side can say, geez, I saw no evidence that showed me that, and it's really the justice system is.
Blows.
Do you think it blows?
Yeah, it stinks.
And I would just add, in not specific to this case, as a general rule, investigations matter.
What?
How you collect?
So right.
How you collect evidence matters. How you try a case matters. And the imbalance in the spending that the defense can do versus the state elected district attorney is a massive gap. So all of those things can coalesce and create a feeling of injustice, but that's the system we have. And we spend so much time arguing and debating things without ever exiting an echo chamber. And part of the reason I love this job and I love where I was raised is that I had different views of things than most of the people I was always around. And that allows you to have a better sense of self and arguing proper points. And this, the way in which this has generally been discussed has been with one side saying this, one side saying that, each calling the other all these names without ever having to meet anybody. And I'm happy that John came in and, you know, was able to express his opinions. And this show has always been one that welcomes and encourages people with other views to join it.
Sure. That's why I was somewhat surprised by the vitriol expressed by those who were critical of the fact that we spoke to Karen Reed, because Karen Reed remains an innocent until proven guilty person.
Mm.
And if you have interest in that case...
But we know what? The world doesn't work like
but
that.
But if you
innocent
are,
until well, proven
but
why guilty. Not, though?
Hey, I've always asked that question.
What if you're the person?
I've always asked that question. It's always guilty until you can prove your innocence.
There is a new, we just talked about it, there is a new documentary on Hulu or Peacock, I'm forgetting which one, mm-hmm. where they are sitting down and talking to Scott Peterson, who is behind bars for killing his pregnant wife yeah. and unborn child. If you work in any type of broadcasting...
Nine-month pre-born, basically, murdering his son that was Connor. Like,
mm-hmm. Right.
Carry on, sorry.
Like, you, of course, want to sit down with the biggest story that is going on right now. And I just don't understand why we can all have views on this topic without people saying that, like, you're a bad person or you don't care about the person who died. No, we've been talking about this story since the Monday after it happened because John O'Keefe deserves justice. And if you think Karen Reed did it, then I guess you don't think that we are trying to get justice by sitting down with her.
I think it's people, and this is where we talk about, people will go, oh, if you believe she didn't do it, you're a bad person because there are people who said she did do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I just don't.
And they do that with everybody, right? They do. We talk about that all the time, and that's one of the things I always push is like people are, you have to prove your innocence. You're guilty until you can prove your innocence. We've seen so many people, whether they've been arrested, whether they go to jail, whether they've been indicted on so many things, and then it comes back and goes, oh, wait a second, they didn't do it. Now it's too late.
I think from the outside, and that's where we are on this case and mm-hmm. others, you're always hoping that justice is done and that the justice system works.
Yeah.
I was sitting there watching that trial, waiting breathlessly for the state
mm-hmm.
to prove what happened.
To be fair, you get really quickly out of breath.
It happens. Currently, I am out of breath. It happens when I'm sitting down, which is probably an issue.
You have started new sounds when you sit. I just want to keep you aware of that.
Oh, believe me. When I get up off the couch, and it's not an old man thing,
sure,
but I make some noise because I've probably been walking all day. I'm fully exercised, whether it's Trainer Dan or whatever. So I make a noise, and every time Lindsay goes, "Are you gonna die?"
That is a very great Lindsay.
Like,
holy
I'm
cow.
Not going to die. Happen to be very healthy.
Just out of breath.
Quite frankly, don't really look my age.
So,
a lot of people tell me.
Yeah.
So.
It's the beard.
But.
That must be reassuring. I'm going to use the restroom. Are you going to die?
Are you going to die? Oh, you're coughing a lot. Are you going to die? My Lord. No, I'm fine. But anyway. The pursuit of justice for John O'Keefe
mm-hmm.
should be wanting to know,
right.
wanting a jury to be shown without any kind of doubt that in this case, if you
right.
believe Karen Reed did it, that she did it. And
yeah, I I've never like really been a fan of the judicial system, it is what it is. This is what we got to live with.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you,
I could Google 10
cases with similar evidence or situations like this where you might get six people who were found guilty of it, right?
Yeah.
So it's
no, it happens.
Have you ever seen this picture?
I did see that.
There's a guy who was wrongly accused of a crime 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
Looking at your eyes, not wrongly accused. High as a kite.
What? Do I look high in that?
Yeah,
you sure do.
Yeah.
And you look like you have really raucous gas.
I mean, that is a guy who got hung up, Wiggy, in the justice system.
Yeah,
wrongly accused.
That's it.
Does that mugshot fit on your tiny TV?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
yeah.
Let me talk to Bill from Newton. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. I don't want to bash the guy because obviously that sucks what happened to him and his
yes.
friends and knowing this guy.
Yes.
But it takes balls to come on the radio. But all he did was confirm what the next result is going to be, which is going to be not guilty or a mistrial. He said nothing. He brought nothing to the table that would make me think, oh, yeah, she definitely did it. I mean, I understand they're all upset and they want justice, but he had nothing. I didn't even follow the case, and I'm trying to hear something that says, well, she probably did it, and this guy came on your show and really didn't say anything. It was kind of sad, actually.
I think, to be fair, I think his intent was wanting to make sure that John's memory was the most
kept alive.
Was the most important,
and he was a good
thing.
Guy.
Yep.
And I think,
all right, he did that.
Right.
He did that. But as listeners, we're all sitting there going, maybe he's got something. I mean, it was going to be probably wasn't going to happen. I mean, you figure the lawyers would have at least said whatever right. You know information he was going to bring to the table. But he brought, I mean, he really brought nothing. And frankly, I was kind of disappointed in the interview, not because of you guys. I'm sure you were hoping he was going to say something, but he really didn't say anything. By the way, I do have friends that think you and Courtney are star bleepers. I don't agree with them,
yeah.
But that's what they think about you. But they do love the show.
Yeah, I mean, that's
all that matters, right, Greg?
I mean, if you're going to, I mean, who would you bleep if it weren't a star? You know, I don't think, I wouldn't consider Karen Reed to be a star.
Right,
but,
right. But that's the
more like Edelman and Greg.
I think more your friends should be, I'll be honest with you, it was a free dinner, and I am more of a dinner bleeper. I'm always a free dinner bleeper.
The wine was good there, too.
And Lindsay said it was your last supper. So.
isn't
somebody
that...
wants me to repeat the noise I make when I get up.
Please.
Oh.
I mean.
I feel like we all do that, though.
Don't you do that?
I do that.
You don't do that, Courtney?
No. No, I don't.
Like we all
are
do
you
that.
Gonna die?
Lindsay's the best thing that's happened to the show in a long time.
Why is that,
just Curtis? Canceling you on social media. Of all the things you can say to Greg, are you going to die
yeah,
in
she
a
doesn't
condescending
give an
tone?
S.
No, she does not give an F.
Oh, it's awesome.
There are people who, I think Lindsay honestly believes that Bullet's feelings were somehow hurt.
Oh. Mm.
Definitely.
Because what do you mean definitely? Oh, because
definitely.
I shared that he pooped in an elevator.
He don't know the dog.
He's a
don't
dog.
Know
I love him. He's man's best friend, but he doesn't know. That
no,
he was
dogs
about
get
that.
Embarrassed.
No, they
like
don't.
a bad haircut, embarrassed.
No, they
Santo don't. Told Harry that he had farted the other day and that it smelled bad. Harry like hit his head after in shame.
Right.
He felt so bad.
Right. Well, I feel bad for Harry because it was most likely you who farted,
not me.
And then somehow
I don't do that.
What? Blamed on Harry.
I do not do that.
What?
I do not.
Every person in the world passes gas, my lord.
Nope. I got to be pretty sick.
Pretty sick.
Pretty sick.
I am.
Get out of here.
Go to the other room.
I'm a lady.
That train
there you go.
Was out of the station decades ago.
Oh.
Well,
you got another case coming up.
What?
And this whole Karen Reed thing, it ain't going away.
No, we'll see if they go forward with it. Yes, we will. All right. We have to take a break, but we'll be right back. Well, hard to believe, but the show is almost over, and we got to make way for a shortened Grecian Foyer show because of the Red Sox first pitch, which is at 2:10, and pregame is at 1:10.
Correct.
And I think they're aware. Jaron Duran said they're aware, but the hopes and dreams of an entire region.
Nation.
An entire nation hangs on the shoulders of the Boston Red Sox.
Must win, Wiggy.
They're aware because who was it that had it might have been Grecian Foyer and Alex Cora on. We played some audio.
That was the afternoon show yesterday.
And he's like, I look at the schedule.
Yeah.
I'm always watching the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
So they're aware.
Yeah.
Believe that.
Yeah. No, they know.
Yeah.
And so this one is a pivotal series.
Yep.
And you have... got to come away at least winning the series. So 2:10 is first pitch on that. This is Chris. Before we go this morning, Chris, what are you calling about?
You just had an interview with a gentleman who was on. I didn't catch the first part about it. And I followed that Karen Reed trial very closely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watched a lot of it. But the photos and the forensic evidence that they investigated and used to prosecute was so flawed by the court system out there. I'm shocked at this. I'm an embalmer by trade, and I'm up in the bigger numbers, 25,000 plus, and I've seen tons and tons of automobile accidents. You name it, I've seen it. His injuries were not consistent with an automobile accident. When you get hit by a car and you're dressed, most of those injuries are internalized, especially in the torso area. And he would have had some head injuries that would have been consistent with a fall, being struck, falling backwards to the side. How did he get injuries inside of his clothing?
I mean, we could spend hours on the evidence this way, that way. And the unfortunate thing is none of us were on the jury, and none of us will most likely be on next jury. So,
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned.
What are you concerned about, Curtis?
Lindsay says what to you when you get up?
Are you going to die?
And we now have embalmers calling the show.
Well, I want Lindsay to know that Greg is taking care of himself. He is up on his antioxidants this morning, eating a lot of blueberries.
Yes. Good job, Greg.
I am a blueberries in the morning person.
All right. So what do the antioxidants do?
I would argue the most prominent berry is the blue.
Yes.
I think the rasp would be second. And I think the blackberry comes in a distant third.
Well, blackberry's always first. Remember that.
The elderberry is not even in the conversation, which is unfortunate.
You remember what Smokey said? The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. So that's always number one.
Thanks,
all right. Well, we got to go.
That's it.
Shime is back tomorrow. Curtis's last day before a long vacation tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm flexing
You're
tomorrow.
You're flexing.
Please survive past Labor Day. I want to see you again.
Oh, I'll be fine.
Okay.
headed down, quick trip to Nantucket to see Ripe tonight. Right. I'm very excited about that show tonight.
Well, make sure you put on some deodorant. You want to stay ripe.
Okay. Thank you, Wiggy. Gresh and Foyer. Gresham Foyer up until baseball time next. And thank you for your patronage. Are you going to die?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.